Civilizational. So don't go around saying that women in Islam don't contribute. They do, and they have, and they will. That's a myth in the minds of people who listen to the media, listen to the West, don't understand Islamic history, don't understand the Quran. She's a mother. And she's doing what every mother would do, and that is to do what? Save her child. When she is running between Safa and Marwa, she's not performing an act of ibadah. She's not saying that I'm in salat, I'm going to make God. She's running like any other woman would run. See if there's water, see if there's someone over there that she can look at and find, and then see if there's, they have water. Doing this. That is called sa'i. That, what she did, is called what? Sa'i. So from whom did Ismail inherit this spirit? From the mother. And when she finished, she didn't know that water was going to come. She had no idea. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out the zamzam from underneath Ismail's ankles, and there you have zamzam. But the most important thing there is the sa'i. It's called effort. You make the effort. You go through the motions. You don't sit there crying, whining, feeling as if you're a victim, that my husband left me here. No, you go through the motions of protecting yourself. You don't worry about the consequence or the result. The result Allah gave. But the sa'i is our civilizational value. We do the effort. We make the effort. The result is in Allah's hands. And who did this? A mother. And what did Allah do? He made this mother's action a ritual. For anyone who wants to perform Hajj and Umrah, it is now a ritual. I'll rephrase it in our context. Islam has made the action of a woman a ritual. So don't undermine women. If women are right, and they're pious, and they see the light of Allah, they're exceptional. So what do we know? We know that in Hajj and Umrah, and in sacrifice, in Sa'i, we have civilizational codes that are adapted by Muslims in their daily lives, or they should be. So if you have a situation and you don't know what to do, you go through the motions. You don't have a job, go through the motions. Your business isn't doing well, go through the motions. There's a family dispute, go through the motion of reconciliation. Don't sit there like a fatalistic person who's waiting for divine madad and qadr to come in and intervene. It doesn't happen that way. It only happens through the agency of human action. Human action is our sa'i. What's the result? I don't know. But what should I do? I should run between Safa and Marwa and let's see what happens. So this is the message that we gather from Ibrahim al-Islam, Ismail al-Islam, and Hajar. Together. Don't separate them. So we appreciate the sacrifice of Ibrahim al-Islam, and we perform Alhamdulillah, Adhiya and Qurbani every year. May Allah accept. So Qurbani is wajib upon everybody who is sahib and nisab, who is not poor. And it starts from the 10th, the 11th and the 12th. So we see this, that all Muslims throughout the world when they are celebrating Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice, what are they doing? They are representing the Abrahamic civilizational values to the whole world. It's an international da'wah to everybody on the planet that this is who Muslims are. This is what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us sacrifice for the sake of Allah and the Ummah, and it teaches us effort. That we're not lazy. We're not fatalistic. We do what we need to do within our power. That Allah does what He does within His power. But it's a message that Muslims give to the whole world. So the Eid al-Fitr is for the Muslim representation of this Ummah. And Eid al-Adha is the Muslim representation of this Millah, the Millah of Ibrahim al-Islam. So it is international. Once we know this, and then we do our sacrifice, and we do our effort, we do our sa'i, whatever it is. Sa'i is not just, as I mentioned, that she wasn't running around making ibadah. She was doing what every human being does, trying to save her child. So even a human mundane action can become mubarak once Allah accepts it. So this is what we do. That we tell people, we tell our children, work hard. Make effort, sweat, perspire, anticipate a good result from Allah. If the good result comes, alhamdulillah. And if it doesn't come, alhamdulillah, you do it again. You don't give up. If you fall, you get up. You don't sit and whine and cry. And then with Ibrahim al-Islam's sacrifice, that whatever Allah wants, the spirit of Ibrahim is whatever Allah wants. And throughout his life, alhamdulillah, Ibrahim saw Allah's creativity in this way. He was thrown into the fire. He said, okay. Now he went through the motion, the sa'i, and Allah created now tranquility and peace and comfort for him in the fire. No, we should do that. We shouldn't do that. Hopefully we won't have that test, inshallah. Ibrahim al-Salam now coming into Makkah, and he's making dua as he's building the Kaaba, raising the foundations of the Kaaba with his son, and he's making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates here a civilization. Oh, what's he saying? Have you looked at the topography of what it is, where you are? Have you looked at the climate? Have you looked at the geography? There's nothing but mountains around you, nothing but desert and rock around you. There's no water anywhere. And you're standing there in front of the Kaaba, Allah, build a civilization here. In the middle of a mountainous desert. How does the Nabi think? The Nabi relies on Allah's ability to create. And he makes dua. Now this huge civilization called the Muslim Ummah, millions flock to the same desert. It's mind-boggling, it's miraculous, it's nothing like it in human history. That you can have a shrine in the middle of a desert where there's no water, nothing, and all the good food and fruits from all over the world reach this desert. وَرْزُقْهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ Ibrahim is saying, alayhi salam, give them from all different types of fruits. Now, he didn't live to see it. It happened thousands of years later. But the Prophet asked him, so that he is the result of Ibrahim al-Islam's dua, he used to say. I am the result of Ibrahim's dua. But Ibrahim didn't live to see it. Again, prophets are not result-oriented. They're not driven by immediate results. They do what Allah wants them to do. So if you were a psychiatrist listening to Ibrahim there alone with his son in the desert making this dua, you would say there's something wrong with this guy. So they're not concerned with what society or people say or do. They are concerned with Islam. What is Islam? You submit yourself to Allah's will. So, why am I saying all this? This introduction to, unfortunately, a very critical discussion which we need to have openly, not secretly, openly. It's come out from the closet, literally. What is that? That there is a lifestyle which is totally haram, which is totally despicable, which is totally condemned by the Quran, the Sunnah, Muslims, Islam, and that is the gay lifestyle. It is time for us to own up to being Muslim and say, I'm going to sacrifice whatever society says to do what Allah wants. And call it for what it is haram. And we must tell our children openly. We must tell our community members and relatives openly that this is not on. This is not who we are and this is not what we do. It doesn't matter what this society says. That is called sacrifice. That is called Islam. Submitting to the hukum of Allah against all odds, against convention, against societal modes and trends. Well, we're not budging on this. So what we have is we can draw parallels from the story of the sacrifice of Ibrahim, the Sa'i of Hajj, into our own community so that now this becomes our context. And it's not that difficult. It's quite easy. You say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And that's the end of the discussion. If Islam and the Prophet and the Quran and Muslims in totality, unanimously, if you go to other countries in the world, they won't even have this discussion. It's just haram. That's the end of the discussion. Here, we have to appease people. And then, you know, do some gymnastics, acrobatics, in order to even convince somebody that you must take a second look at this. What are you saying? What are you thinking? We can resolve this by following and adapting the spirit of Ibrahim as-salam and say, whatever Allah wants, I'm here. I'm not result-driven. If it means that we won't have votes, so be it. If it means that we won't have certain convenience in society, so be it. If it means that we won't be accepted, appreciated in the mainstream, so be it, which is not true, by the way. It is not mainstream. There are millions of Americans who don't believe in this lifestyle. They don't subscribe to it. They speak against it. So it's not unanimous. It's not an American thing that you somehow you have to concede. You don't. Because that's not Americanism. Americanism is that you stand for your rights. And you declare your faith openly, not in a hypocritical way. That's Americanism. And that's what this country allows you to do. Now, apart from that, we have Islam. We have Ibrahim alayhi salam as a role model. I don't care what the result of my sacrificing my own son is. I'm saying, labbaik, I'm here. And I will do what Allah wants me to do. Then Allah created the perfect result for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And through that, Allah made that a ritual for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he receives all the rewards of every qurbani that we perform. May Allah accept and give him more. So we must enter this conversation at a crossroads. And what is that? That we can either choose this way or that way. If you're Muslim, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Because then if you subscribe to that, it will lead you to kufr, where you will no longer be a Muslim. And it doesn't matter how many excuses. You cannot label a haram act by saying it is halal. It does not work. And this is not our opinion. This is the opinion of all Muslim scholars from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, from the time of Lut, who was also mentioned in the Quran, until the day of judgment. But it's the sacrifice of the stubborn ego, I have to fit in. No, you don't have to fit in. In fact, if you voice your opinion, you will be fitting it into the American psyche. So don't label all of this as being American, because it's not. The stats prove it. Just because we live in a democratic state doesn't mean to say we have to become democratic in thinking, meaning the political party. So we have guidance from Allah as to how we address issues in our society today. It's a question of opening up that guidance, receiving the guidance, making dua to Allah, Allah forgive our sins, Allah guide us, ihdina sirata mustaqim. But which path? غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهُمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Not those two. We don't want to follow the path of those who are astray, misguided, and those who incur Allah's wrath. The people of Lut incurred Allah's wrath. They were stoned. So we have to wake up, and we have to keep our children alert. And we have to discuss this openly, without any shame. Because if you don't, it will catch up to us. And if it catches up to us, God forbid, Allah save us and protect us, it will become a cancer. And everybody will be normalizing this lifestyle in the Muslim community. So before that happens, follow the role model of Ibrahim by sacrificing that stubborn ego and say, no, I'm submitting to the will of Allah. May Allah guide us all.